There was a treaty that was made between Germany and Russia in 1939. And it divided up Eastern Europe at the time. I'm going to assume this is working. Lithuania was placed under Russian rule, and Rav Dassler was learning in Kelm at the time. And Rav Dassler describes how on Motzei Shabbos, June 21st, 1940, Russian tanks rolled into Kelm around 2 a.m., immediately began to plunder all of the local stores and shops, confiscated businesses, started rationing off the essential goods, and it was very unclear what to do at that point. Rav Dassler was a British national. The British government was concerned for its nationals in Lithuania. And there were different options that were proposed. First, they thought maybe they were going to go to Sweden for the remainder of the war. Then it was proposed maybe they would go to Canada, then to Australia. There were so many different options. They were so confused by the whole matzav that there was a point where they thought maybe we should just stay here in Lithuania, maybe we're better off staying here. Very unclear what to do, a frightening time. And Rav Elchanan Wasserman came to Kelm, that Elul, this was 1940. Rav Elchanan, of course, died on Kiddush Hashem in 1941. And they asked Rav Elchanan what to do. At this point, they were thinking about going to Australia, that was the plan. So first Rav Elchanan said, well, it depends, it depends if Japan is going to get involved in the war. That's going to perhaps dictate the safety of going to Australia. And then Rav Elchanan, in the middle of the conversation, he stopped. And he said the following. He said, don't ask me anymore. People ask me, don't ask me anymore. He says, I can't see anything anymore. I don't have the clarity. I don't have the vision anymore. I don't know what to say. Whatever you do, you should just go and it should be b'hatzlacha. And then Rav Elchanan said the following, which I want to think about as we begin this morning. Rav Elchanan said, remember one thing, that wherever you go, whether it's Sweden, whether it's Canada, whether it's Australia, whether you try to stay here in Lithuania, wherever you go, you're never going to be exempt from the birth pangs of Mashiach. The Chevlei Mashiach are unavoidable, and Rav Elchanan said to them, frightening words, they're going to follow you everywhere. Wherever you go, there's no escaping the Chevlei Mashiach. Klausenberger Rebbe, who suffered obviously horribly during the war, lost so many members of his family, was always makabalit in some remarkable way, without any tainas on Hashem. He would always say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are just, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are perfect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness is often hidden, and we have to learn to be makabal that kindness. So he also used to say, he used to tell people, he said, you have to understand that the Jewish suffering, that dealing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a God of concealment, is part and parcel of the Jewish story. It's unavoidable. Like Rav Elchanan was saying to the Dasslers in 1940 in Kelm, I don't know what to tell you. There's no way to really escape from this Hester Panim. There's no way to avoid this Redifa that seems to follow the Jewish people wherever we go in the world. And that's what we, of course, think about when we read Megillas Eicha. That's where the very name Bein HaMitzarim comes from. Kol Rodfeh Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim. This feeling of being chased, this feeling of being pursued. Kol Rodfeh Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim. A feeling of being trapped, that there's nowhere for a Jew to turn. And of course it's painful and it's ironic because David HaMelech, the words that we so often daven and we sing, David HaMelech taught us, Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayai. There's a possibility, and maybe that's what we're working on today, to be chased, to be pursued by nothing other than Rachmei Shemayim. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. I want to be chased by Hashem's kindness. Yet the story of Jewish history, as Rav Elchanan was teaching the Dasslers in Kelm, as a Klausenberger Rebbe, who survived with unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, the war, but lost so much, was able to somehow be Makabel. It's unavoidable. And it's part of our story. A couple of psukim later in Eicha, still in the first parak, v'yelchu b'locho af lifnei rodev, that we ran and we kept running and we're constantly chased and pursued. And if you're paying close attention, maybe you notice that the word rodev in that pasuk is spelled malei, which is very unusual. It's spelled with a vav. And Rashi comments, kol rodev sheva mikra chaser v'zeh malei. Every rodev, anytime you find that shoresh in Tanakh, it's always spelled chaser without the vav. But here it's the full word, it's a full rodev. V'zeh malei. Shenir defu redifa shleima. Because the feeling that a Jew has on Tisha B'Av is that we're being fully pursued. It's not just the occasional moment where a Jew feels trapped in this world, but we're constantly being overtaken by our enemies. Kol rodfeh hi sigua beinu mitzarim. Throughout the Torah, and even throughout Tanakh, the relationship between the redifa and the hasaga seem to always go hand in hand. That there's always someone chasing, and there's always this feeling of being overcome, of being overtaken. The Jewish people left Mitzrayim, which is the shoresh of all of Galus. Ve'yirdufu Mitzrayim achareyim, ve'yasigu osam chonim alayam, kol sus rechav power for Hashem. There's a redifa, there's a chasing, and then there's this feeling that we're caught. There's no escaping it. Ve'yasigu osam, that the Mitzrayim were able to catch us, that we were trapped. Amar oyev, a parak later, erdof asig. The enemy seems to assume that when I chase, I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to catch the Jew. I'm going to be able to cause Jewish suffering. And when that becomes part and parcel of your story, when that becomes your history, when that becomes something that is a constant in your life, so it creates this horrible feeling, not only of those moments when you know you're actively being pursued, but this paranoia of constantly looking over your shoulder, of never feeling safe, of never being sure when the enemy is right behind you. Because that enemy is always, Amar Oyev, Erdof Asig, I'm always chasing. We're living with this constant fear of always being threatened. And that finds expression in some of the harshest psukim in the entire Torah. In the Tochacha, this theme of Redifa, called Rodfei Yisigul Beinu Mitzar, this theme of being chased, and sometimes thinking you're being chased when you're not even being chased. If we fail to do our part in Torah and mitzvos, if we don't live a life of Torah and mitzvos, if we reject the Torah, and these are very painful words from the end of Bechukosai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Af ani aseh zos lachem v'ifkadeti aleichem baal. I'll assign over you this panic, this fear, and it becomes an irrational fear over time. V'nasati fonai b'chem, Hashem says, I'll turn my attention towards you. V'nigaftem lifnei oyveichem, v'rodu b'chem sonechem, v'nastem, and you'll be running v'ein rodefeschem. Jewish people will become so scared, so paranoid, so threatened, so anxious, that we're going to be running even when there are no enemies pursuing us. And a number of psukim later, v'radaf osam kol ala nidaf. You'll hear the sound of a rustling tree and you'll jump. Because you have good reason to. Because how many times in Jewish history has that noise been behind you when a Jew turned around and it was an oppressor? It was the Oyev who was Erdof Asig trying to overcome Bnei Yisrael. V'naflu ve'ein rodev. Again, these are all words from the Tocha B'chukosak. V'naflu, you'll run ve'ein rodev. You won't know how to stop running. Part of the beautiful nature of Tisha B'Av, that we're actually able to stop running a little bit. We take off our shoes and we sit down. And we try to understand what is this redifa all about? Why is it so much a part of our history? Again, how many psukim in the Tochacha over and over again? Rashi explains, you're running like someone who's literally being pursued by someone who wants to murder. You'll be under the impression that someone is always trying to get you. And again, Rav Elchanan said it's an unavoidable part of being a Jew. That's what the Klausenberg Rebbe said is an unavoidable part of being a Jew. And yet, now we come to Tisha B'Av, We don't spend the day running. We do the opposite. We probably do a lot more running on a regular day than we do on a day like today. We slow down. And that's really what the first kina is about. Shavas. Slow down a little bit. To stop running or to try to internalize what this redifa is all about. And to understand that there's another way. Going back to the words of David HaMelech. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayah. And somehow, even when we're being chased, even when we're being pursued, we have to find a way to understand what it's really about. Some of us have been learning this year, before davening, Shabbos morning, the Sefer Avodas Yisrael from the Kazan Tzermagid. And the Kazan Tzermagid, very famously, V'nahafachu, took the words that again that we read last night, Kol Rodfei Yisigua Ben HaMitzarim, and found a way to learn it, B'derach Avoda, to give us a mission statement. It's very much the mission statement for Tisha B'Av. He writes it in Parshas Maaseh. What does it mean, Kol Rodfei Yisigua Ben HaMitzarim? He quotes from the Maggid of Mezrich, one of his rebellion. Da'inu kol mi sherodef laham liches habore, yuchol lahasig yoser dafka b'yamim elu ben HaMitzarim. That a person who wants to have an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is, after all, a moed, kar alai moed. A moed means an encounter, a meeting place, a point where we meet up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the late tells the Rav used to say, there's ways to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Geula, and there's ways to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Galus. A person who wants, kol misha rodef, kol rodfa, instead of being the one who's always being chased, today we have to decide what we want to chase. Kol rodfa could be understood kol rodef ka, to run after Hashem. We're running through sitting. That's a different form of pursuing, of chasing, of wanting. To be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has the ability to do so, maybe even more so during the Beit HaMitzar. And he quotes a mashal, I mentioned Shabbos, a similar idea in the drasha, the notion of the king leaving the palace, imo anochi b'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes to sit with us, he joins Klal Yisrael and Galus, like Gemara says, Megillah Chavtes, the Zohar has a similar statement. Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And therefore, instead of feeling rejected by Hashem, we have to feel, on a day like today, as uncomfortable as it is, that we have unique access to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That kol rodfeh yisigua, today we're going to catch you, Hashem. We're going to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we can't usually access Hashem. And he writes some poignant words, Ve'ikar ha'inyin l'schazik u'la'ametz aslevavu be'itim halalu, Levilti yipol beresha sais rashlus me'avod Hashem. There's a part of us that just wants to get through the day. There's a part of us that feels that because this is the day that encompasses all the redifos of history, so we're embarrassed to serve Hashem today. We don't know how to serve Hashem today. We're hiding from Hashem today because the enemy is chasing after us. And ein koach, we're chased by a rodif with a vav, a malay. We're trapped. But says the Holy Kazan Tzermagid, that's not the right approach. That we have to be mechazik ourselves to believe today is a unique day of Avodas Hashem. Va'afilu b'tisha b'av shu choshech l'mar ayin. And even Tisha B'av, which on the surface is a day of darkness, of concealment. Hagam sheyesh livchos b'mar nefesh akol asher matzasanu b'yomahu. To cry over all of the collective and personal tragedies of our history on this day. Mikol makom, nonetheless, there needs to be a simcha in our heart, he says. Based on the simcha asida, based on the seeds that we're planting in these moments, shebo yulad menachem, like the Medrash says that today, menachem, Mashiach will be born, v'yigaleinu b'meheira, v'yismach Hashem b'masav, v'haysalo hamalucha kimekem. Today is a day, in some, again, paradoxical way, of trying to work to restore the malchus. So we come to a day like Tisha B'Av. We come to a day and we sit on the ground. And the Kazan Tzermagid says, and by the way, if you think this is just a day of Avodas Hashem, he writes in his writings on Pirkei Avos, in the third parak, U'masha yuchol adam letakein b'Tisha B'Av, the tikkunim that we can make today, shehu b'shiflus, from a low place, eino yoch takein b'simchas tov, is bigger in a sense than the excitement that a Jew feels, than the closeness as we're clutching the Torahs in our arms and dancing and singing. There's a tikkun that can take place today that's even bigger than Simchas Torah. And therefore the avoda, like Rav Elchanan Wasserman said, is let's not pretend we can avoid. Let's engage the reality that we face as being Jews. The Klausenberger Rebbe said this is part of the way that Hashem runs the world. And looking away is not the answer. A surgeon who's performing a gruesome surgery has to keep his eyes open, even though what's before his eyes is a very frightening scene. But he has to learn how to look at it because he knows that he's helping the person who's on the operating table in front of him. When a moel is performing a delicate bris milah, he has to, and he sees the pain, the anguish in the face of the baby. The moel can't close his eyes. He can't look away. He has to understand that what he's doing is an unbelievable tikkun for this child. And that's what we have to do on a day like today as well. It's not about ducking. It's not about avoiding. It's about being able to recite the kinos in a way that creates a tikkun. We're sitting down on the ground right now, not because we're stuck, but because we're trying to figure out how to pause and then to be able to move forward. When a person's learning Gemara, sometimes you encounter a teku. A teku. The Gemara goes back and forth. It's unresolved. Sometimes it's a kasha. The Gemara ends kasha. It means that there's a resolution, but for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't want to suggest it. Teku means we're really stuck. Teku, some say, stands for Tishvi, Yataris, Kushos, Vabayas. Eliyahu, Hanavi, Zachar Latov, is going to come eventually. When he comes as the harbinger of Mashiach, he's going to answer all of the questions. Teku. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes in a small passage in Likutei Moharan that what does teku mean? The word teku is an incomplete tikkun. It's something that's longing for tikkun. We want to resolve the sugya. We want to learn aliba de hilchasa. We want to know what the halacha lamais is, but we're stuck. Teku, we're stuck. It's bechinas mechusar tikkun. It's missing that last nun, the shar hanun of kedusha that we're striving for, that Mashiach will bring to the world. And then Rabbi Nachman says that you come to a day like Tisha B'Av, and unfortunately, when a person feels stuck, so he needs to recite kinos, the same letters as the word tikkun. V'nasa mizeh b'chinas kinos, shu'a osios tikkun. But when we engage this place of being stuck, as opposed to just waiting for the day to pass, when we try to daven over this day, we try to feel the pain of Klal Yisrael on this day, we try to think about what Mashiach might look like and what I can do to make that a reality. So I take that teku, that feeling of being mechusar tikkun, of being stuck, and I recite kinos, and in doing so, I'm able to rearrange the letters. Hashem yigalenu v'yishafchu ha-kinos le-tikkun. That's the tikkun that takes place, the recitation of the kinos that we're going to cite for the next number of hours. To put that nun back in its place, to take that teiku, that feeling of being stuck, and to make it into a tiku. Rav Chaim HaKadosh writes, the beginning of Shemos, we know that in Mitzrayim, the Jews were on the 49th level of Tumah. They weren't able to fall to the Shar HaNun, they didn't fall, and that's a blessing, they didn't fall to level 50. Rav Chaim HaKadosh says, because if we would fall to level 50, it would have been a point of no return. It would be impossible for the Jews to be redeemed from such a place. Rav Chaim HaKadosh says, but before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to level 50. In the days before the coming of Mashiach, we're going to enter into that Shar Nun of Tumah, and from there we're going to be able, of course, to bring about that Tikkun, to turn it into the Shar Nun of Kedusha. That's that missing Nun, so to speak, that Rabbi Nachman is speaking about here. This feeling of Teku, that we need to restore that Nun, we need to go to a really low place, in a really low and broken world, and try to take back that nun. Nun is a word, a letter of amuna, Gemara says in Shabbos, with unbelievable faith and amuna pshuta, with a willingness to accept that this is Ratzon Hashem, that the Jewish people, yes, the beloved Jewish people should be the most pursued in history, and then to take that nun and to turn those kinos into an unbelievable tikkun. And again, that's a choice we make at the beginning of the recitation of kinos. As we're sitting here on the floor, are we sitting here because teku, we're stuck? And the Gemara says, Teku, do you feel stuck? Or do you spend all day thinking about what could the answer to this question be? Why didn't the Rishonim propose this answer or that answer? Are we sitting on the floor because we're stuck in our place? Do we take off our shoes because we feel caught? The enemy has trapped us, Beina Mitzarim? Or are we trying to sit on the ground like a seed that's being implanted in the ground, buried in the dirt, in order to be able to sprout. Rav Shlomo Hoffman is a Talmud of Rav Isaac Sher, a confidant of many Gedolei Yisrael, an amazing psychologist, a very chashuv Rav. I have his sefer in my hand right here. It's called Sichos and Rav Shlomo Hoffman. And he writes here on page 47 to 49 about the first shmuz that Rav Dessler gave upon coming to Eretz Yisrael in 1946. And Rav Hoffman says, I never heard a shmuz like this. He said he hardly quoted any Ma'amari Chazal, didn't quote many psukim. It was very captivating. It was a different type of, different style of shmuz. And Rav Dessler began with the following question. And Rav Shlomo Hoffman said, for years I was shocked that Rav Dessler could ask such a question. Rav Dessler asked the following question. Was the Holocaust a bracha or a klal? Someone could say such a thing. He couldn't imagine. Rav Shlomo Hoffman says it. He said everyone in the crowd was shocked. 1950s is not so long after the Holocaust. That Rav Dessler could pose it as a question. Was the Shoah a bracha or a klal? So Rav Dessler said, it depends. Depends? Biggest klal in certainly modern Jewish history, maybe in the entirety of our history, it's the hava mina that it's a bracha. Rav Dessler said, it depends. It's not one way or another. Rav Dessler said, if Klal Yisrael can learn the lessons of the Holocaust, whatever they may be, and Rav Dessler was not the type to say, oh, the Holocaust happened because of A or B or C. But if somehow we can emerge from that place, the way the Klosenberger Rebbe did, and we can strengthen our emunah and our bitachon, and to somehow know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in mysterious ways, then the Holocaust, said Rav Eliezer Dessler, could be a bracha, albeit a bracha in disguise. No one will argue with that. But if we don't, Chas V'Shalom, take something from it, if we don't learn anything from it, if all of that suffering hasn't taught us anything, that's when the Holocaust is a klala through and through. And Shlomo Hoffman said, for years I couldn't chap that he could say such a thing. To be able to say that if we walk away inspired, if we walk away with greater amunah, if we accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates sometimes in these mysterious ways, that such a Gehenim could be a bracha. And that's what Rav Dessler said. And Rav Dessler is not a small person to be able to say something like that. And therefore, on a day like today, again, we have a choice that we need to make. This could be just another day where we feel chased and oppressed and pursued. Or it can be a day where the Jewish people say, we're going to pursue HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to long. We're going to strive. We're going to attain Erdof Asig, we're going to attain something new, a new understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and why we have to be in such a place. In the early part of the 20th century, there was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Shlomo Zalman Baran, passed away in 1927. There was a young man who once came to him, was after Yom Kippur. Rav Zalman was one of the founders, helped to build and establish Mea Sharim. He was a bucky in Dalad Minim, the halachos of Dalad Minim. People would bring him their esrog. So this young man, his name was Meir, he came with his esrog. It was after Yom Kippur. He came to Rav Zalman Baran with his esrog. He wanted the tzaddik to look at his esrog. He thought he had a very nice esrog. He picked out a nice esrog. It was very hard to find the tzaddik. He finally tracked him down. He caught him. He found him at home. He said, can the Rav please check my esrog? Take a look. So he picks up the esrog and he's looking. Looks pretty good. He's looking carefully. He sees a little crevice that, upon closer inspection, he's not so comfortable with it. It looks like it's something's not right. And he's looking, and he's trying to inspect, and this scratch, it's really this one indentation, it's bothering him. So he hands the esrog back to this young fellow, Meir, and he says to him, you know, I don't think the esrog is kosher for fulfillment d'oraisa. It would be kosher midrabanan. Happens to be that year, the first day of Sukkot, fell out on Shabbos. We don't take a lulav on Shabbos. The Torah says, "Ulkachtam lachem bayom arishon." Without a base of mikdash, certainly, it seems, according to most of the Rishonim, without a base of mikdash, lulav is only deraisa the first day. It's the rabbanon the rest of the way, called shiva. So this young man took back his esrog, and he kind of said to Rav Zalman, he alluded to Rav Zalman, okay, it's good enough for this year, it's good enough. Esrog's fine for this year. And Rav Zalman, when he saw that he was okay with this esrog, that was a beautiful esrog, midi rabbanon, he burst into tears. Started bawling. And his young fellow mayor said, the Rav's probably upset with me. He's thinking to himself, he's probably upset with me because here I am, a ben Torah. I should want a better esrog. I should want an esrog that's kosher midaraisa. Okay, granted, we don't take a rule of an esrog this year on the first day because it's Shabbos. So he starts to say to Rav Zalman, you know, okay, I'll try to get a nicer esrog. It's true, maybe. No, maybe I should strive to. He thought the Rav was upset at him because he wasn't striving for shleimus and mitzvahs. And Rav Zalman, between his sobbing, between his heaving, all of a sudden he says to this young fellow, he says, "Meir," he says, "there's 3 full days until Sukkot. You don't think the Beis HaMikdash can come in the next 3 days? You gave up already? You don't believe you're accepting an esrog midirabanan because you're assuming that this year there's not going to be an opportunity to take an esrog called Shiva? What kind of perspective do you have on life?" And he just burst out sobbing again. He started crying again. And this young fellow Mary didn't know what to say. How is it possible that I've given up, that I've lost sight of the possibility of a Binyan Beis HaMikdash? 3 full days I have to long, to hope. And I've given up. And unfortunately, that's many of us, because we're burnt out from the redifus of Jewish history. But today is the day, Kol Rodfei Yisigua Beinu Mitzarim, today is the day when we have a chance to do something different, like the Kajet Zer Magid said. Kol Rodef Kof, we pursue HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we try to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Moed, in this meeting place, that it's possible, like the Majid Zer Rebbe writes at the end of Parshas Pinchas, Ach Tov V'Chesed Yirdefuni Kol Yimei Chaya. He puts the Pesukim together. Yes, a lot of our life seems to be Kol Rodfei Yisigua Beinu Mitzarim. But if we engage the day properly, then yes, it's possible. Ach Tov V'Chesed. We'll realize, like Rav Dessler said, that even the Holocaust could be a bracha in disguise if we have the right perspective. And then all of those psukim that we read earlier from the Tochacha, they can all be transformed into psukei bracha. Afani Yaseh Zos Lachem V'Ifkadeti Aleichem Ba'alma. The Scholia Rebbe who went through the Holocaust wrote a sefer where he took the psukim of the Tocha and he darshened every pasuk as a bracha. He took every klal and he turned it into a bracha. A person who saw atrocities with his own eyes. An unbelievable sefer called Birchas Yeshurun. Afaniya says zos lachem v'ifkadeti. He says v'ifkadeti is a lashon of removing. V'ifkadeti aleichem bala. I'll remove all of your paranoia. Like it says when the Jewish people went out to war just last week, Lo nifkan mimenu ish, no one was missing. If kadati can be also of removing, to take away, something lacking. There'll be a lack of balal, there'll be a lack of paranoia. There'll be a tikkun to this paranoia. Vinastim ve'ein rodef eschem, the Scholar Rebbe says, you'll be running because ein rodef eschem. The ein is the ein sof, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the ultimate ayin. It's not that you're going to be running from nothing, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be chasing you back in tshuva. Vinaflu ve'ein rodef. V'naflu, not you're going to be stumbling, you're going to be falling, you're going to be sitting on the floor because you're broken. But the Scholar Rebbe says, Rashi at the end of Parshas Chayesara says about the descendants of Yishmael, Al Pnei Kol Echov Nafal Shachan. You'll be able to finally dwell in tranquility because Ein Rodef, you won't be pursued anymore. Because V'Rodef Ayin. Because you realize the one who was chasing you all along was the Kadosh Baruch. You'll realize, like the Trisker Magid says in his Sefer, with this I conclude, in the Sefer Magen Avram, Kol Roidfa Yisigua Beinu Mitzarim is Rashi Tevos HaBracha. Because there's a way to turn the Redifos into a Bracha. There's a way to feel that we're being pursued by Hashem. Not that we've been abandoned by Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing us down the road because He's pushing us towards the Geula Shleima. That Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakeh, that the Jewish people are going to survive. And then even though it feels like we're collapsing Be'in Koach, But we're sitting here not because we're stuck, because we want to take kinos and turn them into a tikkun. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. It's not an easy perspective to have on a long day, on a difficult day, but to understand there's an opportunity that presents itself to us. That we can accomplish something today that we couldn't accomplish on Simchas Torah. And then while Rav Elchanan Wasserman and the Klausenberger Rebbe said, there's no escaping this reality, but there's a way of engaging it in a way of bracha. There's a way of seeing it as a way of tikkun. And Amir Tashem, if we do our part, then Ach Tov V'Chesed Yerdefuni Kol Yemei Chayai. And we'll feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chasing us back to Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh, with the Gula of Meher B'Yamino. Shabbat
I'm even a bad guy, I'm a good guy, I don't know.